This is a pretty straightforward lesson tonight. We're getting into a very familiar passage, not this week, but next week. But last week we talked about the settled word, and we looked at Psalm 119, verses 89 through 96. And we need to understand that the word of God never changes. Verse 89, we saw that this was the eternal word. In the first part of verse 89, it says it's everlasting. It says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." It's settled in heaven, but the question is it settled in us? Do we really trust it as the truth of God? Do we really trust it as the power of God? Verses 90 to 91, we see a faithful word. It's conveyed to everyone. It's constructed in everything, because by the word, creation existed. And it's confirmed by everything. So we need to understand that it is a faithful word. In verses 92 to 93, it's a reviving word in times of affliction. But here's the point. You want God to help you? You need to ask Him. So you've got to try. If you never ask, He's not going to intervene.
That's right.
And so if you try, and then if you trust, we cry out to God in generic terms. We need to be specific.
Yeah.
We need to be specific. So we know what He knows, and we're on the same page. We need to have a reviving word in terms of, in times of affirmation. In verse 93, it says, "I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me." We need to affirm the power of God. We need to affirm the purpose of God in our life. We need to affirm, along with everybody else, the people of God. The people of God. So it's a reviving word in verses 92 through 93. In verses 94 through 96, we see it's a saving word. Save me for your sake. We talked about the story of Hezekiah, how the Assyrians surrounded the city, and they were taunting the city from outside the walls and writing letters. And Hezekiah was taking that to the temple and say, "Not for our sake, but for your sake." And the answer from God says, "For my sake, I will save the city." We just need to be willing vessels. Save me from the enemy. Okay? In verse 95, we also talked about Job in Psalm 107, verse 43. Save me to the uttermost. God's salvation is timeless. He's eternal. Everything He does is eternal. And then in limitless. It has no bounds. In verse 96 it says, "For I have seen the end of all perfection." The end of time, basically, or timeliness of it. And that, "But thy commandments are exceeding broad." They have no limits this way. You know, God's word is appropriate for everything that we do. It gives answer for every situation we're in. It never gets old. It's always new. And it's always fresh. So, that is last week's lesson. So tonight we're going to talk about being made wise by the Word. We're going to be looking at Psalm 97 through 104. This is the 13th stanza in this psalm. And we need to understand this fundamental truth, that it's through the Word of God that we have wisdom. So the Word of God brings wisdom. The letter in the Hebrew alphabet this time is Mem. It means water. We think of Christ, He's the living water. Out of our lives is supposed to flow living waters. It's the water that washes us from sin. So with that thought here in mind, in verse 97 it says, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words upon to my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every evil word. In this psalm, the psalmist proclaims his love and devotion to the Word, which gave him more understanding and wisdom than anybody else. Folks, it's available for us today. So without any delay, we need to see 3 points of this passage. The first point's found in verses 97 through 100, where the psalmist identifies and proclaims he was changed by the Word. He makes a proclamation here in verse 97, the first part of it. He says, "Oh, how I love thy law!" Exclamation point. Can we say the same thing for us? Okay. Can we say the same thing for us? It's a proclamation that of our love and our devotion for... We have an issue?
Okay.
It's a proclamation. Joshua chapter 23, verse 11. Joshua is challenging the people. And he says, "Take good heed therefore unto yourselves that ye love the Lord your God." See, it is an exclamation here. He loves God's word and boldly expresses it. We love it for its truth. Think of all the things we love God's word for. We love it for its truth. We love it for its wisdom. We love it for its transforming power. We love it for its comfort. We love it for its encouragement. We love it for its guidance. We love it for its purity and its holiness. We love it for it because it reveals the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Without God's word, we would know nothing of that. And what we need to do is we need to proclaim, "How I love thy law." My question is this: do you love it? Do you love it? That you would shout it from the rooftops. So we see here is a proclamation. And then it goes here in verse, the last part of 97, it says, "It is my meditation all the day." You know, how many of us could get involved in a task and we lose track of time? I know that you can turn the wrong way and go a long time and lose track of time in your whole position because you're preoccupied with other things. You know what we need to do? We need to have a preoccupation with God's Word. That should be the foremost thing in our lives. He says, "It is my meditation all the day." Okay? It should be driving us all the time. It should be guiding us all the time. In Psalm 119, verse 148, we're going to come back to this. And it says, "My eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word." To the psalmist, it was better than getting sleep. He was so in love with God's word, he just wanted more of it. We sang, "More about Jesus would I know." Oh, do you have that desire to know more about Jesus? So changed by the word, it's a proclamation. We see a preoccupation. Yes, I know, teacher. Okay. There's a story told about some Christian woman had gathered in a home for a Bible study. When the teacher discovered that she had forgotten to bring her Bible, the hostess offered her the use of her own Bible and went in to get it. Looking where she usually kept it, she was surprised that it wasn't there. She searched for it everywhere, but still no Bible. "What will those women think of me," she thought, "if I can't even find my own Bible?" Running upstairs, she found the cleaning woman who had just started working there. "Betty," she asked, "have you seen my Bible anyplace?" The maid responded with, "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord." "Why in the world would you say that?" the distressed woman asked, because Betty replied with a big smile on her face, "The first thing I do when I begin at a new place is to hide the Bible. I do it just to find out how long it takes people to miss it."
Hello.
Okay. "I put yours in the linen closet under the sheets." See, the issue is we should be preoccupied with God's word so much that we wouldn't even think of misplacing it. But you know, it's sad, you go in some people's houses and there's dust on it. You could write a message on the top of the Bible because it's never been opened. Oh, that should not be the way in our life. So we ought to be preoccupied with it. It's a proclamation. It's a preoccupation. And then it is a profession. It is a profession. There's three things here that the psalmist talks about what the word does. In verse 98, he says, "Thou through thy commandments have made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me." Verse 98 shows that God's word gives us wisdom to win. It gives us wisdom to win. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 8 says, "The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall." Remember what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. The Corinthian church had all sorts of struggles. And he says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 11. It says, "Lest Satan should get a what? An advantage of us, for we are not what? Ignorant of his devices." If you don't understand the truth, if you don't understand that our adversary goes around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, if you don't understand that you're a target, you could be taken. You could be taken. But God's word gives us wisdom to win. In Psalm 18 verse 13, "I will call upon the Lord." Now, you know, God speaks through his word. God speaks through his, you know, he works through the Holy Spirit. "But in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." Okay? "I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Oh, how I love thy law. It's my meditation all the day. Through thy commandments, thy has made me wiser than my enemies, for they are" what? "Ever with me." Now, there's two ways of taking that. Are your enemies always with you? Yeah, but that's not what it means here. God's commandments are always with us. They're always with. They'll never leave. Christ says, he says, "I'll never leave you, nor for sake." God's word will never leave. It will never leave. So in verse 98, we see it has wisdom to win. We need to understand that continually studying God's word is required to make you wiser than your enemies. An example of this was seen when a policeman in Haifa, a port city in Israel, was chasing smugglers who were using a cart pulled by a couple of donkeys. When they saw the policemen in pursuit, they realized that they didn't have a chance, so they jumped off the cart and escaped. Very devout in his study of Scripture, the policeman devised a plan. He didn't feed the donkeys for 3 days, then let them go, because from Isaiah 1:3 says that the ass knows his master's crib. He knew that the donkeys would lead him to the home of their master, which they did. Now think of that. Here is the application of God's word in a way that you would never think possible. But if you know God's word, it applies to everything that we go through in life. And so it's wisdom to win. It provides us insight to instruct. Now I'll just go ahead and finish the rest of it, since the thing is. In verse 99, it says this. It says, "I have more understanding than all my teachers." Now, I tell you what. My students think they know more of that, too. When you were a teenager, didn't you think that way? Didn't you think you had a rod? You're out of middle school now and you're in high school. You are there. Yeah, right. Okay. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're not talking about having knowledge to lord it over somebody or to have pride here. Okay? He says, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my what? Meditation. We see this recurring theme about meditation over and over and over again. So he has insight to instruct. In Proverbs chapter 1 verse 3, it says that the whole purpose of Proverbs is to do what? To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. You know something? Inside those four things are everything we need to live. We need wisdom to live. We need to do rightly to live. We need to make righteous judgment to live. And then we need to treat everyone fairly. Okay? So in there, in that one thing there, that one verse, it just says God's word is appropriate for everything we do. So his profession is it gives us wisdom to win. It gives us insight to instruct. And then it gives us superiority over sages. Okay? Superiority over sages. Verse 100, it says, I understand more than the ancients. Oh, I won't go into that. Yes, I will. Okay? So we're trying to transfer a title of our truck to our daughter. It was a truck that she took to college. So I went on the website and I read all the stuff and I read all the rules and everything else and went over to the tax place and said, this is what it says. And oh, no, 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 no. And the tax lady said, well, you got to do this, got to do this, got to do this. Okay, it's fine. I got the forms and I called up Kristen. And I said, you got to fill out these forms. So she gets the forms. She gets the forms. And she starts reading them. And she says, hey, why am I even doing this? Why did you send me these forms? Because she read the same thing I read. Mm-hmm. And the issue, and I told her, I said, look, I said, sometimes you just have to trust, okay? But I said, just do this and it will work. Well, I went down, I got all the forms and it didn't work. This is government, right? Man can always mess up stuff. But the fact is that she thought she knew more. She thought that I hadn't checked all this stuff out and was sitting there saying, well, it says, right, I understand it says there. Don't you think I read that? Here's the point. We should never get into a situation with God's word where we said, oh, I should have read that. We should know it, okay? Because this is where God's wisdom is. This is where it's all at. And Timothy had the issue. Look at this. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, it says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an what? An example of the believers in word. How can you express the word of God unless you know it? How can you know it unless you love it? How can you love it unless you study it? How can you study it unless you become preoccupied with it, that you will actually set time to do it? See how this works? It says, in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. You're not going to outfox God. You're not going to outsmart God. The Bible is ultimate truth. And if you know it, you'll win. Because you're going to have wisdom to win. You're going to have insight to provide instruction. And it doesn't matter how old you are. I know a lot of old people have no knowledge at all. Okay? I know a lot of young people have wisdom. It's not how much you know, it's how you know it and what you know is the issue. So that is the second part, and I think I missed it. Okay? Oh, nope. Thirdly, we need to be cleansed by the Word. Yes, I did miss it. Okay? No, I didn't. Never mind. It's been one of those days. Cleansed by the Word in 101 through 103. In 101, he says this, I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy Word. You're cleansed by the Word when you do it in surrender. I'll pass on two passages here right now. In Romans chapter 13, verse 14, it says, and put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. What did the psalmist say here? He says, I have refrained my feet from every evil way. He says, this way gets me in trouble. I'm just not going to go down that road. When will we wise up and do that? If we keep on going the same way, expecting a different result, that's insanity. Okay? That's not following God's Word. So when you're surrendering, say, I'm going to refrain my feet from every evil way. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the what? The lust of the flesh, as we talked about Sunday morning. James chapter 1, verses 22 and 21 and 22, it says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted what? Word. Which is able to save your souls. There's a lot of people that know the Word, but there's fewer that do the Word. And it says, but be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We went through Romans 6 Sunday also. The issue is that I'm either alive to Christ and dead to sin, or I'm alive to sin and dead to Christ. It's that simple. We have to refrain our feet from every evil way that I might what? Keep thy Word. See, if we have an attitude of obedience, we'll be obedient to the Word. So, we need to be cleansed by the Word and surrender. In verse 102, we need to be cleansed by the Word and steadfastness. It says, I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. You know, how many have learned the lessons the hard way? Okay? We all do it at times, okay? This is what it's kind of getting at here. We don't keep on making the same mistakes. That's how you're transferred from grace to grace, from glory to glory. You're adding to your faith. You're doing all diligence to add to your faith. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye what? Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You know, if you are abounding in the work of the Lord, you won't abound in the evil way. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Job chapter 23, verse 12 says, neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. Here says, I have not departed from thy judgments. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. That sounds like preoccupation, doesn't it? So we're cleansed by the Word and surrender. We're cleansed by the Word and steadfastness. And we are cleansed by the Word in satisfaction. You know, we will never do anything unless we see a reason to do it. Okay? Why did you accept Christ as your Savior? Because you saw that you were going the wrong way. And you needed forgiveness from things that you couldn't get forgiveness from except through God. In verse 103, it says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. See, the Bible is not a buffet. You can't pick and choose what you like and not eat what you don't like. How many of us were told when we were kids to eat something that we didn't like? It's green. Eat it. Okay? There you go. Okay? It'll do you what?
Good.
Okay? It'll do you good. Folks, God's Word will do us good. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 13 and 14 says, my son, eat thou honey because it's what?
Good.
And the honeycomb, which is sweet to thy taste. And here's the illustration. He's using a metaphor here. Okay? He says, so shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. The writer of Proverbs saying the same thing the writer of Psalms saying. He says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste. He says, so shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. When thou hast found it, and there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. Why? Because you're wise, you'll refrain your feet from every evil way. You won't depart from God's judgments. You will keep His word. You will think on it all the time. It wouldn't even come into your mind that you would do something against the word of God. Psalm 34, verse 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is what?
Good.
Blessed is the man that what? That trusteth in Him. So we see that we are changed by the Word. We're cleansed by the Word. And in the last verse of this passage, we should be challenged by the Word. In 104, it says, through thy precepts, or from thy precepts, I get understanding. We need to understand the source of wisdom. Proverbs says, wisdom is a principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom and understand with all thy getting. Okay? The source is God, folks. You can't do God things unless you know God. You can't do God things unless you know what God says. You can't do God things unless you do what God tells you to do. In John chapter 6, verse 68, Simon Peter answered him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the what? Words of eternal life. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Faith is not an academic exercise. It's a doing. You have to handle God's word. You have to use God's word. You have to apply God's word. You have to do all this other stuff instead of, well, someone else will do it. It'll never help you. It'll never help you. You need to be challenged by that. So we go to the source, and then God's word is the standard. It says here, it says, therefore I what? Hate every false way. John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, verse 6 says, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that knoweth God knows God's word. He that knoweth God is around God's people. He that knoweth God follows the Spirit. We are God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the what? Spirit of truth in the spirit of error. Therefore I hate every false way. I'm discipling a man. And he ran across a friend of his, or an acquaintance of his, that reads the book of Enoch. Now, I have been telling him, I said, all you need to know is the Bible. Because if it doesn't line up with the Bible, it's wrong.
Right.
Because this is truth. This is absolute truth. And the other night we were talking and he said, you know, I started reading that. And then all of a sudden, I said, this doesn't sound right. And I put it up and I'm not going to read it anymore. Good for you. That's exactly what we need to understand. It's God's standard. It's the Bible that we follow. Proverbs chapter 8 verse 13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy in the evil way, and the forward mouth do I hate. It says here, I hate every false way. We need to hate the thing that God hates. So where's this? If this is the way we're supposed to be, why are we doing the things that God hates? Why are Christians doing the thing that God hates? You're not being wise. And if you're not being wise, you're being foolish. And a prating fool will fall. How can you have victory when you're not doing the right thing? You've probably heard this before, that bank tellers, early on before they came up with the magic pen, and you say, bank tellers, basically all they were given was to feel money. Feel what real money felt like. So when someone slipped them a counterfeit bill, that would not feel right, and they could spot it. Folks, we need to know God's Word so much that it is the prism that we look through, and this lens that we look through, and everything that we feel needs to feel like that. Yeah. And if it doesn't feel like that, you don't do it. That's how you can refrain from every evil way. That's how you keep His judgments. Seek the wisdom of God through the Word of God. Amen. Seek the wisdom of God through the Word of God. I love this passage in Acts. Peter and John go into the temple and they heal this man through the power of God. And the Pharisees say, we told you not to do this anymore. We told you not to do this anymore. And in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, it says this. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were what? Unlearned men. No, they had the wisdom of God. It's superior to the sages. It gives you insight to instruct. It gives you wisdom to win. It says, and perceived they were unlearned and ignorant men. They what? Marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Folks, we should know God's Word so much that people know that we know God's Word. And that the Word just emanates from us. Amen. And then the next verse says, you know something? There's that dude standing right there. Something happened to him. We can't explain it. Folks, God does something to you that you can't explain. But you can learn more about Him and share it with others. So, seek the wisdom of God through the Word of God. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. Lord, just ask Me with this time of invitation. Father, just search our hearts, Lord. And just help us, Lord, just to follow You with all of our heart. Lord, I pray that someone does not know You as Savior, Lord, that this would be the night of their salvation. Lord, I pray that they would understand their need and they would ask You for forgiveness, Lord, and understand that You died on the cross for them and that You offer salvation, heaven, as a free gift. Lord, for us, help us to be more wise in Your Word. Help us, Lord, to be studious of it. Help us, Lord, to be followers of it. Help us, Lord, to be speakers of it, that we would proclaim, oh, how I love Thy law. Lord, just be with us time. Have Your full will and way. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.